They stepped across the threshold and found themselves on a wide terrace. Below them, shut in by the tall houses, was the village square, crowded with Indians. Bright blankets and feathers in black hair and the glint of turquoise and dark skin shining with heat. Lenina put her handkerchief to her nose again. In the open space at the center of the square were two circular platforms of masonry and trampled clay, the roofs, it was evident, of underground chambers, for in the center of each platform was an open hatchway with a ladder emerging from the lower darkness. A sound of subterranean flute playing came up and was almost lost in the steady, remorseless persistence of the drums. Lenina liked the drums. Shutting her eyes, she abandoned herself to their soft, repeated thunder, allowed it to invade her consciousness more and more completely, till at last there was nothing left in the world but that one deep pulse of sound. It reminded her reassuringly of the synthetic noises made at Solidarity services and Ford's Day celebrations. "Orgy porgy," she whispered to herself. The drums beat out just the same rhythms. There was a sudden startling burst of singing, hundreds of male voices crying out fiercely in harsh metallic unison. A few long notes and silence, the thunderous silence of the drums. Then shrill, in a neighing treble, the women's answer. Then again the drums, and once more the men's deep, savage affirmation of their manhood. Queer, yes, the place was queer. So was the music, so were the clothes and the goiters and the skin diseases and the old people. But the performance itself, there seemed to be nothing specially queer about that. "It reminds me of a lower caste community sing," she told Bernard. But a little later, it was reminding her a good deal less of that innocuous function. For suddenly there had swarmed up from those round chambers underground a ghastly troop of monsters. Hideously masked or painted out of all semblance of humanity, they had tramped out a strange limping dance round the square, round and again round, singing as they went round and round, each time a little faster, and the drums had changed and quickened their rhythm, so that it became like the pulsing of fever in the ears, and the crowd had begun to sing with the dancers, louder and louder, and first one woman had shrieked, and then another, and another, as though they were being killed, and then suddenly the leader of the dancers broke out of the line, ran to a big wooden chest, which was standing at one end of the square, raised the lid, and pulled out a pair of black snakes. A great yell went up from the crowd, and all the other dancers ran towards him with outstretched hands. He tossed the snakes to the first comers, then dipped back into the chest for more, more and more, black snakes and brown and mottled. He flung them out, and then the dance began again on a different rhythm. Round and round they went with their snakes, snakily, with a soft undulating movement at the knees and hips, round and round. Then the leader gave a signal, and one after another all the snakes were flung down in the middle of the square. An old man came up from underground and sprinkled them with cornmeal, and from the other hatchway came a woman and sprinkled them with water from a black jar. Then the old man lifted his hand, and startlingly, terrifyingly, there was absolute silence. The drums stopped beating. Life seemed to have come to an end. The old man pointed towards the two hatchways that gave entrance to the lower world, and slowly, raised by invisible hands from below, there emerged from the one a painted image of an eagle, from the other that of a man, naked and nailed to a cross. They hung there, seemingly self-sustained, as though watching. The old man clapped his hands. Naked, but for a white cotton breechcloth, a boy of about 18 stepped out of the crowd and stood before him, his hands crossed over his chest, his head bowed. The old man made the sign of the cross over him and turned away. Slowly, the boy began to walk round the writhing heap of snakes. He had completed the first circuit and was halfway through the second when, from among the dancers, a tall man wearing the mask of a coyote and holding in his hand a whip of plaited leather advanced towards him. The boy, moved on as though unaware of the other's existence.
End of Disc 3.